Branch NMLS number 33041. Rick Rittman's NMLS number 664589. Equal housing lender. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Our branch NMLS is 33041. Now, here's your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Good afternoon, and thank you so much for joining me today. This is Rick Rittman, your hardworking mortgage guy. And if you would like to contact me, go to hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguy.com. And you can find all my contact information there. You can call, email, you can fill in the contact information and send that to me. And then we can get something set up to talk about your situation and what you need in the way of mortgages. And we can talk about that. But today we're going to talk about a couple different things. I want to talk about the four trends in our real estate market, the Indianapolis real estate market. I think it's important that we talk about these trends. And I think it's important whether you're a buyer or seller, or even just somebody thinking about buying or selling a home. You need to consider the trends so that you understand what the market is like. So it is very important that we do that. But before we get started on that, let's talk about the real estate market so you actually understand the market, not just the trends. Then we'll talk about the trends and some of the facts behind them. I really want to talk about the facts, just the facts, ma'am, just the facts. I just happen to like facts, so that's why I want to talk about facts. So it is one of those things that I happen to like the statistics. And I think that going over the market in our area as in general. Now this is for all the counties: Bartholomew, Boone, Brown, Decatur, Hamilton, Hancock, Hendricks, Jackson, Jennings, Johnson, Madison, Marion, Montgomery, Morgan, Putnam, and Shelby counties. This is the statistics from my board, the Metropolitan Indianapolis Board of Realtors. And, obviously they have all the data. They know what's going on. And you hear so much out there about the lack of inventory. That's probably the biggest, one of the trends we're seeing is a lack of inventory. So we want to, we want to see what is the actual market? What is the trend right, or what's going on right now in our market? So how is that being affected? Because that can make a difference on you looking at homes, or maybe even putting your own home on the market. And some of the best things to look at is year over year changes and month over month changes. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at, because these numbers are all for July 2021, so we're going to look back at July 2020, and we're going to look at June 2021 compared to July 2021. And the first one I want to talk about is new listings. We hear about that market. We hear about the lack of listings out there. So what's going on in those listings, and what are we looking at right now for the listings? Well, the month over month, in June of 2021, we had 4,386 listings. And in July, we had 2,392. So what is that? 6 additional listings. So that was good. And then in the year over year, we had 4,231 listings in July of 2020. So that's an increase of over 100 and something homes. It's an increase of a total increase of, we had year over year is what we want to talk about. Then we want to talk about the total. I apologize. So far 2021, we've had 24,868 homes listed. In 2020, we had 24,010 homes listed. That's an increase of 3.6%. So we are seeing an increase in the listings in our market, in those counties where my board is monitoring. So that is a fairly good increase. The year over year change is 3.8%. The month over month change was 0.1%, but it's all up. Every single one of those is up. So we are seeing an increase in the listings. This is what we want. Now, it's not a huge increase, but it is an increase. We need the increase because we had a real lack of inventory, and this should help if you're thinking about looking at homes, if you've been looking at homes and having trouble getting an offer accepted or getting in a house where you can make an offer on that's not sold before you get there. This is starting to show that we're starting to see more listings. So it should ease up. It hasn't yet, but we should see it ease up some. Next, let's talk about pending sales. So pending sales, these are homes that were listed, are now sold. And, the number of properties newly under contract in any given month, which are still pending or resulted in a closed sale. So you could have one that even though it's a pending sale, because it pended in July of 2000, when we're talking about July 2021, since it pended in July of 2021, that's counted, even if it already closed in July or if it didn't close until, later. So the year over year, or the month over month, the 2021 July, we had 4,021 homes that pended sale. Now, remember, you can compare that to, we had 4,392 homes listed. So this is good. We're having more homes listed than we had go pending. That is another piece that's going to start increasing the homes available. So that's going to be very good. The month over month in June of 2021, we only had 3,905 homes that went pending. So we had an increase of just over 116 increase. And year over year in 2020, July of 2020, we had 3,917 homes go pending. Again, we had 4,021 go pending in 2021. Now that year over year change is a change. It increased by 2.7%. The month over month, it increased by 3%. And in 2020, we had 23,207 homes total through the end of July. And in 2021, we had 23,904. That's an increase of 3%. Again, pending sales have increased. The number of homes listed has increased. So these are positive numbers. The next one that we want to talk about is your closed sales. So what's closed? And in July of 2021, we closed 3,791 homes. And in June of 2021, we closed 3,953 homes. That's we had a decrease for July of 4%. That's 4% decrease in the amount of homes that closed. So the amount of homes that closed went down. Again, this should all help increase the number of homes available for people to go look at. Now, this is all short term. I'm going to go over the longer term numbers here in a second. So let's look at the year to the January through July 2020. We had 20,022 homes that closed, and in 2021 we had 21,469. So we had a 7.2% increase in homes sold or homes closed in 2021 over 2020. That's a pretty significant increase. But as you can tell, in the early part of this year, or the late part of this year, June and July, we actually have the numbers have decreased. We've had more homes closed, but we're getting more homes coming into the market, which is starting to help our inventory. The cumulative days on market. This is how long a home is on the market. And normally, I'm just going to give you kind of the normal. Well, here, I'll just July of 2018. The average days on market was about 38 days on market, which was actually not too bad. That's pretty low for our area. Normally we're more in the 50, 55 day range. And back in January of 2020, we were about 65 days, same as in June in 2019. So when the pandemic hit in 2020, we jumped up and we were over 60 days, almost 65 days on the market. Today, we're 14 days on market. When you list your house, it's 14 days on average from listing to sale. That is incredibly fast. Back in July 2020, it was 31 days. So that's a decrease year over year of 54.8%. Decrease in this case is good. That means the homes are sitting on the market 54.8% shorter period of time, 31 days to 14 days. In June of 2014, we were at 14 days also, so we're dead on. Our year to date is in 2021, our year to date, January through July 2021, we are averaging 20 days on the market. Remember, we're 14 days right now. We were 14 days in June, 14 days in July on average. 2020, we were 42 days. Significant. We're 52.4% decrease in days on market. So that's a pretty, very, very significant number to look at there, because that makes a huge difference. If you're listing a home, it's going to sell very quickly, which means you don't go through a lot of the rigmarole that you can go through when you have 45, 50 days, 60 days on the market. And after the break, we're going to talk more about what's going on in our market. Also going to go over the four trends in our real estate market.
You're listening to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Now back to your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it. If you would like to get a hold of me for any mortgage needs, just go to hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguy.com, and you can get my phone numbers, my email, or you can contact me directly from my web page. And, you know, we've been talking about the Indianapolis and the surrounding county markets. I can't even remember how many markets that was. And we've talked about a variety of things. Number one, homes. The last thing we talked about is homes have only, you know, the cumulative days on market right now is 14 days. There's more homes that have been listed. So we're seeing a little bit increase in our available inventory. So it's starting to make it a lot easier to go out and find a house, or at least, you know, it's starting to ease up. So we're seeing a little bit increase in that. The more people who put their house on the market, the better that's going to be. We're still seeing some major increases in the value of properties. So that's still it's a great time to buy a home. It's still, you know, people say, well, they've gone up, but you know, I do a lot in the stock market, and rates go up or stock goes up. Doesn't mean it's a bad time to buy it. If you tend not to buy at the low, you don't, you know, that's not when you buy, because everybody thinks it's still going down. But when it starts to turn, it comes back, you're always buying as it goes up. The key is that you want it to continue to go up. As long as it continues to go up, you're happy. If it doesn't continue to go up is when it's going to be a problem. And as we said, next year, they're projecting, I think, a 5.1% increase in our market and price. So that bodes well for going ahead and buying a house as soon as you can. If you can find something out there, and this is saying that that is starting to get much easier because the inventory is starting to ease.
Now it's time for Questions with the Gurus.
You know, Martha wanted to know, she was asking me the other, it was probably a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. She wanted to know, other than the down payment, she's looking at purchasing a home. I should give a little bit more background. She's looking at purchasing a home. She's a first-time home buyer, but it doesn't have to be a first-time home buyer. Things change all the time, and this information is good for everybody. But other than the down payment, so what other costs are associated with closing on a home? And the reason I think this is so good is you would not believe the people who don't understand that there's more to it than just the down payment. So we're going to talk about that, because if you have your down payment, you still either you have to have the money for your closing costs and all these other fees and costs, or you're going to have to have somebody help pay them. The seller, you could have a seller concession to help pay those. Those are hard to get right now in this market. There's ways we might be able to work some of this out, but just know there are additional costs. So if you need $20,000 for a down payment, you're going to need more than that $20,000. You may need $26,000 total to be able to have the money to close on the home for all the additional costs that you are going to have. Number one is closing costs. You're going to have closing costs. Now, those closing costs will vary. Depends on the price of the home. It varies on a variety of things. The price of the home will matter. The title company can be different. The lender can change those fees some. So it does depend on where you're what you're closing and what those costs are going to be. If you have to have an appraisal, and in general, you're going to be looking at with us somewhere in that $2,000 range, up or down a few hundred dollars. Now, you get into a much more expensive home, it's going to go up quite a bit more than that, you know, because the appraisal costs are going to go up, things like that. You get into $1 million, $2 million home, it's just going to be more expensive. It's going to be a little bit less expensive with a lower priced home. Not that the appraisal changes, but the title insurance isn't going to be as much. But just figure you're going to be somewhere in that $2,000 range, but you really need to talk to me and let me run those numbers so that we can make sure that we're giving you, you know, a good estimate. The problem is on a purchase, we can't tell you exactly what it's going to be until we know who the title company is and get their fees, but we can get you pretty close based on, you know, the fees that we've seen in the past. Then there's the lender fees. So there's a lot of things a lender can charge you for. We don't have a lot of lender fees. We have really very minor lender fees. The appraisal is going to, if you have to have an appraisal, and the reason I say if you have to have an appraisal is because under the new programs, we run a process, and Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae tell us if they are going to require an appraisal. If they don't require an appraisal, then you have the choice of having the appraisal or not. Some people on a purchase will still choose to have it. Most people will go without it. Number one, it saves the cost. Number two, you don't have to worry about the appraisal not coming in and having those issues where you have to renegotiate. You have the credit report. You know, you have costs there. So you've got to have the credit report. Now, in that $2,000 approximate, that's including the lender fees, the appraisal, the credit report, and the title company fees of what we would expect. And again, it could be anywhere from $2,100, unless you get into a much higher cost home, or condos can be a little bit more expensive because there's some additional paperwork that has to be done. That one of the things is called a condo questionnaire that the condo association has to fill out, and they charge for that. So just things that not that the lender's charging for, but you will be charged for. So you have the credit report, you have prepaid interest. So you pay interest on a home on a closing, on a purchase, from the day you close till the end of the month. You don't have a payment that next month generally, and your first payment wouldn't be due until the next month. So if you closed in August, you would pay interest from the day you close in August till the end of the month, and then you wouldn't have a payment in September. Your first payment would be due October 1st. That's how that works out, and that's that prepaid interest. So it's why on a purchase, a lot of people like to close at the end of the month. They don't want to close at the beginning of the month. They want to close at the end of the month because they don't want to have to come up with as much money. I don't know if it really matters. It's not that much, but it's something that a lot of people prefer to do. Escrow. Now, escrows are your property taxes, your homeowners or your homeowners insurance dues. It could be your mortgage insurance. Those are the things that we're going to, flood insurance, that we are going to escrow for in the payment. If you're putting less than 20% down, you have to do that. If you're putting more, you usually have a choice. You just have to decide. Most people do prefer to escrow. So we're going to prorate the taxes. So it depends on what month you close. In Indiana, our taxes are due May 10th and November 10th. So depending on when they're due is how much we have to collect, because we have to have enough to pay them when they come due. So if you were closing in September right now, we would be collecting 7 months of property taxes. But if you closed in November and the taxes had already been paid for the November 10th installment, we would only need to collect 3 months. And then it goes up from there every month. We add a month until they're paid, and then it drops back down. And that's what we have to collect to put in. Now, normally, or a lot of times, not so much in this market, but a lot of times because we are prorated for taxes, when you do that, you're actually going to get a credit back from the seller because you're going to prorate the taxes while they live there. Sometimes in this market, though, people are making offers not to prorate, so it helps eliminate some of the appraisal issues that you can have when you pay more than list. So rather than pay over list, you don't prorate the taxes. But we're going to have to collect for the taxes. The homeowner's insurance, you have to have one year paid upfront homeowner's insurance. And then we're going to collect another 2 months, possibly 3 months, to put into escrow so that we can have the money in there when it comes due in 12 months. So if you close on the 28th of August, the 28th of August, 2022, your homeowner's insurance is going to be due again, and we have to have enough money to pay it as a lender. And we're going to put enough in there plus collect those payments. And remember, you skip a payment. So it's not that we're going to collect 12 payments. We'll only collect 11 payments. So then we expect it to go up. So we tend to collect, I think it's normally 2 months. And so we have enough in there. We don't actually collect for homeowners association. You pay those on your own, but you have to understand homeowners association fees. When you close, a lot of homeowners associations have, they charge you enrollment fees. There could be, you know, they may prorate the homeowners association fees, what the seller's paid already, and have you pay what's due. So, or what they reimburse them for what they paid while you're going to live there. So that's another cost that could come up. The title company fees, and the title company fees generally on a purchase, again, it's going to depend on price and everything else and what title company, but you're going to be looking at $900 to about $1,200 normally for your title company fees. And then the seller normally pays the realtor fees, but the buyer can agree to pay the realtor fees. So if you agree to pay the realtor fees, of course, you're going to have those fees additionally to pay. Again, some people are doing that, I've seen, because they're trying to not need an appraisal, or not that they don't need appraisal, not pay more than the, you know, not pay over list price. So they hopefully the appraisal will come in. So that's kind of the information that Martha wanted to know. I know it's in pretty detail and I probably went through too much, but I think it's important that you know those numbers, and a lot of people want to know what they are. But let's get back to the market. The median sale price in our area, the median sale price, I think this is really interesting. In June of 2021, it was $250,400. In July, it was $260,000. That's 3.8% increase. In 2020, July of 2020, it was $225,000. That's a 15.6% increase. That's a year-over-year change. Now, that does not mean our homes have increased by 15.6%. It just means that the median sale price has gone up, and that's because it's being skewed by a higher-priced homes right now, part of that due to the low interest rates. In 2020, July of 2020, we had $210,000 average price, and for 2021, it was $240,000. So the increase from 2020 to 2021 was 14.3%. Again, a huge increase. That still, it does bode well. It shows that our houses are appreciating, but that's not all. You know, you can't just look at that and go, okay, that's what we appreciated. Doesn't work exactly that way. Then the percentage of asking price. I thought these last two, I thought, were extremely interesting. Number one, the percentage of asking price received. In July of 2021, the average accepted offer was 101.6% of the list price. In June, it was 101.95% of the list price. That's a decrease of 0.3. Not a huge decrease, but it might be a little indication that we're starting to get a little more inventory. A year ago, July of 2020, it was 98.8% of the list price. So we were below the list price. Now we're above the list price. In 2020 through July of 2020, it was 98%. And through 2021, it was 100.6%. That's an increase of 2.7%. So we're seeing, you know, the list price, the percentage of ask price to the receive price has gone up, and we're over 100%. Most of you, if you've been buying a house, have seen that, you know that. The active inventory, this is another piece that I think is really important. And that is, this is kind of showing you what you have available to, you know, in inventory. So right now, and through July, in July, we had 2,498 homes. In June, we had 2,049 homes. So we've increased our inventory by 21.9% June to July. Unfortunately, from last year, so July of last year, we had 3,287. That's a decrease of inventory for now to compared to a year ago of 24%. So a year ago we had 24% more homes on the market, but from June to July we've increased our inventory by 21.9%. That's a good thing. We're seeing that number come up again. Hopefully that will show more inventory and really be showing us, you know, that the market for, if you want to list a home, you're still selling it very quickly, 14 days. But if you're buying a home, it's starting to be a little easier to find a home. And that's the big issue, is finding a home that you can make an offer on and get an accepted offer. So that is an important piece of the puzzle. But let's move on to the real estate market, and the four key trends. We've talked about the first one, the shortage of homes for sale. This is a huge issue, as we've seen. It's starting to ease a little bit, but it is really important. And in this report, it says, as we move into the second half of the year, one thing is clear: the current real estate market is one for the record books. The exact mix of conditions we have today creates opportunity for both buyers and sellers. Here's a look at the four key factors. Number one is that shortage of home sales. Earlier this year, the number of homes available for sale fell to an all-time low. In recent months, however, as we've seen, inventory levels are starting to trend up. The latest monthly housing market trends report from Realtors says in June, newly listed homes grew by 5.5% on a year-over-year basis and by 10.9% on a month-over-month basis. Typically, fewer newly listed homes appeared on the market in the month of June compared to May. This year, growth is in new listings is continuing later into the summer season. So we're getting new listings later than we normally do. A welcome sign for tight housing market, and that's exactly what we saw in our numbers. We saw an increase in the numbers for July over June by almost 24%. So huge increase in the amount of listings comparative. That's a good thing. The second is buyers' competition and bidding wars. And you know you've seen this if you're out in the market. If you haven't been out in the market, then you will if you get to the market. And there is great bidding and competition to buy houses. Today, the ongoing low supply coupled with high demand creates a market characterized by high buyer competition and bidding wars. Buyers are going above and beyond to make sure their offers stand out from the crowd by offering over the asking price, all cash, or waiving some contingencies. The number of offers on the average home for sale broke records this year, and that's great news for sellers. The latest confidence index from the National Association of Realtors, that's NAR, says the average home for sale receives 5 offers, and I think that's what I saw in Indiana. For buyers, the best way to put a compelling offer together is by working with a local real estate professional. The agent can act as your trusted advisor on what terms are best for you and what's most appealing to the seller. It is very critical that you have a top agent. It's amazing, too. I'm looking at the chart just to give you an idea. In April and May, the average was 5 offers per house. In March, it was a little less than that. And in February, it was 4 offers per house. If you go all the way back to December of 2017, it was less than 2 offers per house. So not a tremendous amount. The home price appreciation, that is the next piece. And then we talked about that the homes are increasing. They're expected to increase at 5.4% next year. But right now we're seeing those prices increasing at nearly 13%. So that it looks like that will ease some, but it's still a great time to look at buying a house or putting your house on the market. And a raise in home values and equity. The equity in a home doesn't just grow when the homeowner pays their mortgage. It also grows when you pay, when the house appreciates. And this is increased. It's why we aren't really worried. In my opinion, we shouldn't be worried about the, foreclosures and things like that, because the market is just too good. Nobody's going to walk away from $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $100,000, $200,000 in equity where before they didn't have equity. So they walked away because they owed more on their house than it was worth back in 2006 through 2010. Join me next Saturday right here on Freedom 95 at 3:30 for cash out refinancing, good or bad.